This message is presented to you by Christian Celebration Center. Our prayer is that you enjoy this recording and that it's a blessing to your life. You can find all of our resources by visiting cccmidland.com.
Well, I'm excited to launch into this new series called Come Together next Sunday. The focus will be on parenting, and the Sunday following, it's going to be more general, but it's going to be focused, I believe, what the Lord's put on my heart, in any type of relationship that needs to come together. So, this Sunday, though, is not on either of those. You'll find out what it is here in just a moment. Why don't you open up your Bible to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 4. And as you're turning, would you please stand as we honor the Lord's word? It says, "Haven't you read," Jesus replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made the male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate.'" Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that this is a church that wants to hear your word and wants to respond to your word. So, Lord, I pray that even now you begin to put the seeds of the word of God deep into us. Holy Spirit, cause the word of God then to be cultivated in our lives that we might live it out. And I pray that what you put on my heart and what you have to come out of my mouth will come out in a way that is received and that honors you. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. So almost 21 years ago, on December 28th, 1996, Lacey and I got married. And it was like the perfect day, okay? Where we go there. I had a bad haircut earlier in the week, but we won't talk about that. But we get there for the day of the ceremony, and she's doing whatever they do in the girls' room, and us guys, we're eating some subs and having a good time. And then we get ready for the ceremony, and they had a piece of tape up on the platform, which is perfect for the groom. I was just like, just show me the tape. Okay. And so I'm standing there. Do I stand here the whole? Yeah, stand here the whole time. Okay. So I had my tape. I was ready to go. Ceremony was beautiful, and we go into this awesome reception. We had desserts and cake and all that stuff, and I was going in for the, you know, like the cake thing, you know, where you put your arms around each other and you're like feeding cake to each other. I'm like, this is our first night. I'm messing this up. So I'm like just daintily putting that toward her lips, and she's like, bam, right in my face. And I'm like, okay, this is how it's gonna be, huh? All right, I can play. No, I forgave her after a while. And then we headed out after the reception, and we decided to go out for a really nice dinner. And so we went to a place called the Elfindale. It was in Springfield, Missouri, and it sounds like something from Lord of the Rings, but I don't think it was. But there's this really nice place, and we sit down for this fancy dinner, and I'm just thinking, man, this is going great. This is going great. This is a textbook first day, you know what I'm saying? And so we're having our dinner together, and then something happened. The older waitress that had come out and was serving us, somewhere along the line of that conversation, of our special private time together, she reveals, she drops the bomb. She's friends with my mom. Now you have to understand, I'm 20 years old at that time, she's 19. We're like, we're not living with our parents, okay? We're starting our life together. And then she starts to talk all about my mom, how my mom is great, and how she works with my mom, and how they're good friends, and how she's so nice. And I'm like, oh my goodness, lady, would you just shut up? Give us the food and go. It was so awkward trying to start this new marriage and hearing about my mom. Well, the day went on. It was awesome. We went on our honeymoon and all that. And it was so great. A few months later, something happened that really, really surprised us. And that is, we were sitting in my blue Mazda pickup, extra long bed. Don't ask me why. I just had an extra long bed. We're sitting there. We come into a parking space. And for whatever reason, I'm mad at her. I mean, look at this lady. Why would you be mad at her? Nobody gets mad at her. I was mad at her, and I don't even know why. And to my shame, I was so frustrated that I just wouldn't give up. I was just going after her, and I was just like getting onto her about something. It was probably something stupid and dumb, right? That's the way it usually is. And I'm being a jerk. I was being a jerk. And then all of a sudden, as I'm like, blah, 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 she blurts out something really hurtful. And it stopped both of us in our tracks. And in that blue Mazda pickup was silence. As she was just shocked that that just came out of her mouth. And I'm sitting over there, I'm shocked that I drove her to that. Because that was all on me. What just happened? How could we go from this perfect day to just a few months later, I'm getting on, I'm so mad, frustrated, and she blurts out something like, how did we get there? Have you ever hit the pause button in your relationship and wondered, how did we get here? How did I get to the place where I'm saying painful and hurtful things? I'm treating this one that I love in this way. What happened? How do we get from point A to right here, and this is how we're treating each other? Well, I know that when I share a message on marriage, it can, at times, trigger some painful memories for certain ones of us here in the house. I want you to know that my intention in sharing this is not to bring any hurt or to kind of drum up any old wounds or scars. There are others, I realize, that are here that are single. Single young adult, single older adult, teenager, that you're here, and I don't think you're married. And you could be like, oh, this message is not for me. It's time for a long bathroom break. I want you to know whether marriage talk can kind of bring up some memories that aren't so good, or maybe marriage talk seems to be irrelevant to you. I want you to know that this message is important. I want everyone here to imagine a five-year-old little girl or a five-year-old little boy growing up in a home that's tense, that's stressful, there's conflict, there's yelling. Or maybe mom and dad have gone silent. They've heard maybe the talk of a divorce or a separation, or dad might move out. And what if a message like this could bring a seed of hope? What if the Holy Spirit took the seed of the Word of God that's shared today and does that work in their lives as they respond to Him? And in the future, that five-year-old little girl, five-year-old little boy grows up in a home that's Christ-honoring and that's full of peace and stability. Would you say that's worth it? You see, I am passionate about marriage because God is passionate about marriage. It's talked about the husband-wife relationship throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. So when the Pharisees, as we read about in our text this morning in Matthew chapter 19, came to Jesus and began to ask him a question about marriage, I think Jesus was ready for it. I think he was like, it's about time someone brings this up, because this is a really big deal. And the Pharisees came to him. You see that in verse number 3. And they came to test him. They didn't come because they really wanted to know. They didn't come to better their marriages. They came because they were trying to trip Jesus up. They wanted the people to see that, okay, this guy's not so good. He goes against the Bible. He's not of God. They came to test him, and this is what they asked. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Is it lawful to divorce for any and every reason? Now, this question about divorce actually was very common in that time and throughout Israel's history. It's believed that even going back to Moses' time, in the ancient Near East, that divorce was prevalent. It was happening. It wasn't a foreign concept. It was happening all over the place. And in Jesus' day, people would have discussions about this, and there would be disputes because there were basically two schools of thought. One was a man by the name of Shammai who said there is only one cause for divorce. And then there was another man named Hillel who died about 20 years before Jesus started teaching, who taught his followers that a person could divorce his spouse even for an incompatibility of temperament. Okay? Like, I don't like what they said. Gone. Bad hair day, gone. You know what I'm saying? On Facebook too much, out of here. Like whatever it was, Hillel was like, hey, that's cool. And they were basing their teaching off of their interpretation of Deuteronomy chapter 24, which was Moses giving the law and the commands and regulations to the Israelites. Now, we're not going to get into Deuteronomy chapter 24, but I will say that because of that teaching in Deuteronomy 24 and because of human interpretation throughout the years that followed, by the time we got to Jesus' day, 1,400 years later, people had all sorts of ideas of what it looked like. What did marriage look like? Was divorce okay? Was separation okay? And so they came to Jesus and said, is it lawful to divorce for any and every reason? Any and every reason. And I love how Jesus responded. Because what he did, as you'll see, is he bypassed Hillel. And he bypassed Shammai. And he even went past Moses and the law. And he said this in verse number 4, haven't you read that at the beginning, Jesus decided to go all the way back to the beginning, and he quoted from Genesis chapter 1 and 2 for his response. He wanted them to see original intent, original design. Here's the thing. I, as a human being, have messed things up. I've messed up relationships. I've messed up friendships. I've made choices that mess things up. And we could probably all relate to that. We've done some things that messed some things up. And as Jesus looked at the landscape of marriage at that time, he's like, all right, humans have been involved, okay? We've kind of messed some things up here. And so he's like, let's bypass all of that and go back to God's original blueprint for marriage. And he says this, quoting from Genesis, God the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Now, there is a debate happening in our society. Now, I'm not really going to get into it today about even the origin of gender and even the specificity of whatever God had for gender. And the reality is that God created male and female. And so he has masculinity and femininity that is reflected in the image of God, created in the image of God, specific, definite, that then God brings together in the marriage relationship to becoming one, male and female, coming together, becoming one, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And there can be a lot of discussion in our society about marriage and about the definition of marriage, but I want you to know that biblical marriage can't be redefined. It's impossible. People might say something, a court might say something, but biblical marriage cannot be redefined. And Jesus takes these people all the way back to the beginning and said, this is biblical marriage. A man, a woman, leaving their parents, they come together and they become one. Now, this coming together, and they make babies too. All right, I heard a baby back there. That sometimes happens as well. They come together, they become one. And this God created original design that he had is something called a covenant. And this is a word that's used throughout the Old Testament. It's a really significant word. It basically means an alliance, a sacred bond, a pledge. It's not just like an agreement. Hey, we should figure some things out. No, it is a sacred alliance and pledge of two people coming together. And the first time we see this word covenant used is actually back in the book of Genesis, and it's God making covenant with a man named Noah. And if you remember back, God made covenant with him that he would protect him and his family, and then he made covenant with them that he would never destroy the earth with floodwaters again. And as you look back on those 8 times that God used that word to tell Noah, I'm covenanting with you, I'm making a covenant with you, you look back and you're like, God has fulfilled every one of those. He has. I mean, did God protect Noah and his family? Absolutely. Everybody else, whoom, gone. God protected Noah and his family. Has God destroyed the earth with floodwaters since then? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And we know that he won't because he promised he made a covenant. And we don't doubt that. Why? Because a covenant is sacred. God is involved. It is profound. It is beyond the prenuptial and the postnuptial agreements. It is beyond just a contract. It is a covenant. And Scripture goes on to use the word covenant to describe actually marriage, what we're talking about today. If you'll flip back just one book to Malachi chapter 2, so we're in the first book of the New Testament, flip back to the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 2, verse 14, God is speaking to the Israelites, and he says this, "You ask why? Well, it is because the Lord is witness between you and the wife of your youth. You have been unfaithful to her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant." The wife of your marriage alliance, pledge, union. Husband and wife, leaving mom and dad, come together and become one. It's a covenant that is exclusive. When God made covenant with Noah, he wasn't joining anybody else in there. Well, that idol over there, that thing over there. It was like, no, this is God's making a covenant with Noah. It's exclusive. And in the marriage covenant, understand it is to be exclusive. There's not another person that needs to be in that marriage covenant. There's not another emotional attachment that needs to take place other than the spousal attachment and attraction that takes place. It is exclusive. But it's also permanent. You know, what God promised Noah was permanent. It wasn't temporary. It was, this is what it is. This is what it is forever. It was a permanent, lifelong covenant that he made with him. And we see that Jesus, if you bounce back to Matthew 19, and we'll come back to Malachi 2 just in a moment, we see that Jesus said that. "So they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate." God joining two people together, let man not separate. A covenant that is permanent, it's exclusive, it's the most intimate of all relationships. It is sacred, it is profound. And one of the things that makes this covenant so sacred and so profound is that God is a witness. You see that in Malachi 2 where it says, God is the witness between you and the wife of your youth. What does that mean? That means that whether you were a believer at that time or an unbeliever, God showed up at your wedding. And I don't know if you sent him an invitation. Hopefully you didn't forget that one. I don't know if you sent him an invitation. I don't know if you put an extra place setting there, like filet mignon for him, okay? You guys, hot dog. You know, it's like giving the best. I don't know if you invited God to your wedding. But here's what I'm telling you. According to Scripture, God was present at your wedding when you made your vows. Meaning, he saw you on that day, standing on your little piece of tape over there. He heard what you said. He was standing there, and he witnessed every part of it. Now, 2 days ago, I had the privilege of performing the wedding ceremony for Jake and Jenny Singer. They're part of our church, and they got married about 2 hours south of here. And we had a great time with the family, the rehearsal and rehearsal dinner and all that going into the next day. And I tell you what, God was present at that wedding. Coming through the communion time, you could sense God's presence so much. I mean, Jake and Jenny just, they love God so much. They just do. And they were praying together, and then they started praying for each other. And they had some bread, and they had some of the juice, and they're taking communion, remembering the sacrifice of Jesus. And then Jake has his arm kind of on his new bride, and he just lifts up a hand. And it was like nobody else was in the room except those two and Jesus. It was beautiful. It was powerful. I don't think I've ever sensed that in a wedding. I mean, I came back up after they're done with the communion. The song had ended, and they came back to their places. And here I am. I've got my iPad. You know, I'm like, okay, we got to do this thing and pronounce, and you know, they kiss and all this stuff. And I had trouble going on. I had to pray with just such. Feeling of this is a sacred moment. God's presence was right there. Now, we shouldn't be surprised by that because God was present at your ceremony. He witnessed it. And that's what makes this marriage covenant so significant is that it happened in front of God. Like, he heard your vows. He saw you exchange rings. He saw your kiss. And some of them were like short kisses. Some people were like doing the long kiss. I'm like, all right, get my iPad out. Check the sports news. I don't know. But whatever it was, God saw every little piece of that time, heard it, witnessed it. And if that's the case, that God has created marriage and that God has envisioned what marriage should be and can be, and if he has made it to be even a covenant, that there's this strong, sacred, profound alliance, and he has even witnessed it with his own two eyes, his own ears, why then, and this is what the Pharisees asked Jesus, if you'll look with me in verse 7, why then, they asked, did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? Now, I want you to notice something here that's very important and significant, and that is they were twisting what Moses actually did. Moses didn't give them the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not, you know, bear or use the Lord's name in vain, thou shalt get a divorce, thou shalt, I mean, no. Moses didn't command them to go divorce their spouse, but the Pharisees, once again, are trying to twist the words, and they're trying to trip Jesus up. Obviously, Jesus sees right through it. Because what Moses was doing back in Deuteronomy 24 is not giving a command, this is what you shall do. What he was doing is looking at the culture, and he's like, man, there's divorce everywhere. And so God enabled him to give some parameters for that time, some guide rails, if you could say, so that kids weren't abandoned, so that women were having to beg on the street, so that people were taken care of. And Jesus calls it out right here in this next verse, where he says, Moses permitted, and that's the key word there, loud, permitted. He permitted you to divorce your wives, and here's the reason why, because your hearts were hard. Why did Moses permit them in certain cases to experience a divorce? One, they're already doing it. Two, because their hearts were hard. And this is where I begin to lean in a little bit. We have not gone through a divorce, either of us. But I am susceptible to a hard heart. This New Testament Greek word, the Greek compound word, is talking about the center of our being becoming harsh and rough. And if I'm honest with myself, I have to lean in a little bit right here in the message, because you know what? I haven't gone through a divorce or separation, but sometimes my heart starts getting a little hard. Sometimes my heart starts getting a little insensitive. Sometimes I'm not as caring. Sometimes things aren't happening the way that I thought they should. Sometimes I get upset about little things. Sometimes I get upset and the little things become bigger things just because I've made it bigger. And Jesus said, this is the reason why there are problems, and this is the reason why there are problems in marriage, is because hearts can become hard. Now, Jesus only used, or this, I should say, this word is only used three times in the New Testament. Twice in the context of marriage, this conversation that Jesus had with the Pharisees, it's recorded in Matthew and also recorded in Mark, so those are two times. The third time, actually, is not in the context of marriage, it was in the context of a conversation that Jesus was having with his disciples. You remember, Jesus told the disciples, guys, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be arrested, and I'm going to be killed. On the third day, I'm going to rise again. I win. And the disciples didn't want to hear it. They're like, no, Jesus. I don't see it happening like that. I don't think you're going to have to suffer. I don't think it's going to go down like that. And Jesus is like, yeah, actually it is. And after it happened, there were certain disciples, certain people that saw Jesus. He had appeared to them already. But kind of the bulk of the disciples had not yet experienced that. And Jesus then steps into the room where they're at and their unbelief and said, you guys have hard hearts. What is he saying? The center of your being has become harsh. It's become disillusioned. You're upset because things didn't go the way that you wanted it to go. And I found that a heart can become hard whenever things don't go according to plan. For the disciples, it was, we thought we were going to be a pretty big deal, all right? We thought we were going to be like on the thrones with you, helping you rule. We thought we were going to take out all the enemies, and we were going to be on this earth being kings. Jesus is like, oh, that's not really what I was looking for. And because of that, the disciples got hard heart. It can happen in marriage. You know, maybe he doesn't look the way that he once looked. She doesn't look the way that she once looked. He doesn't make as much money as I thought he was going to make. You know, she doesn't take care of all my needs and wants like I thought she would. She doesn't get up and make breakfast every morning and pack my lunch and make me dinner when I come home. What is going on? There are things that maybe you expected that aren't happening. I didn't think that he would treat me like that. I didn't think she would say those things to me. And what can happen is a heart can become hard. A heart can become at a place where it's harsher. It's not as sensitive. It's not as caring. It's not as warm. It's not as welcoming. It's not as pursuing. Heart becomes hard. Interestingly, when the Lord was talking about husband-wife relationship back in Malachi chapter 2, and he's saying, I have witnessed this covenant, this alliance that you've done. In that context, just a few verses later, Jesus says this to them, or the Lord says this to them, you need to guard your hearts. Why did they need to guard their hearts? Well, Jesus revealed that several centuries later when he was teaching with these people and said, it's because of the hardness of your heart that you're having issues, that you're having problems. And he had already said in the Old Testament, guard them. Guard your hearts. And the question is, well, how? How do you guard your heart from becoming hard toward the one that you love, toward the one that you covenanted with? How do you keep from getting to that place where you have to look back and be like, oh my goodness, we've come so far? How do you keep from distancing yourself from your spouse? How do you guard your heart? Well, I want to give you just four basic practical applications here. And I want to challenge you with these. The first one is this, how you guard your heart is look. Is look. You see, often we want to point the finger, don't we? Well, let's talk about what they did to me. You should have heard what they said to me. You have no idea what I've been through because of how they've treated me. And although all of that might be true, what I challenge you today, first and foremost, is look at yourself. Start there. Start with yours truly. Look at yourself. What kind of person have you become through this relationship? Are you maybe a little more selfish than you once were? Has pride kind of creeped up in your life a little bit, more than you'd like to admit? Have you found that you are not as pursuant of a close, warm relationship as you once were? Have you found that you're just kind of forgetting about romance and creative ideas and going the extra mile to serve and to help and to love and to protect? Look at yourself, first and foremost. The second one is this, listen. Listen. Now, we need to listen to what the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us, and I'm a firm believer that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us. Scripture is clear that the Holy Spirit is our counselor. He wants to counsel us, and he has a way of giving us that counsel in the perfect time, in the perfect way. It's exactly what we need when we need it. And I challenge you to take time even this week to listen to what the Holy Spirit is wanting to speak to you. Holy Spirit, is there something I'm doing that's causing friction in the marriage? Holy Spirit, is there something that I can do to make this marriage come together? Holy Spirit, what would you speak to me? Holy Spirit, what do you see in me? Listen. Listen to what the Holy Spirit wants to speak into your heart. And then, listen to your spouse. Start with the Holy Spirit, and then listen to your spouse. I challenge you to ask your spouse this question. What's it like being married to me? What's it like being married to me? I'll tell you what, that takes some guts to ask a question like that. That takes some courage. You know, you might want to be within like swinging distance, you know. And what I challenge you to do is not to be ready, not to be like geared up, ready to justify everything they say. Like, well, I think that this is what I see in you. You're like, well, actually, that's not true. Okay, don't do that, okay? Don't go there, just listen. Let them share. And you might say, well, those things aren't true. No, that is not me. They're talking about somebody else. There's no way all the way around. whether true or not, it's their perspective. And it's really important for you to hear that. And so I challenge you, listen. Listen to what the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you, and then listen to what your spouse is saying. What's it like being married to me? A third, let go. Is there anything that you've kind of picked up along the way in the relationship? You know, is there something that maybe they said that you've kind of held on to? You're like, oh, it just bothered me so much. And you pick up an offense. Maybe you have some bitterness. Maybe there's something that they did, they don't even know they did it. Something they said they don't even remember, but you're like, I do, and I'll never forget. Maybe it's time to let go. Maybe you've picked up an attachment to pornography. Maybe you've picked up an emotional attachment to another person at work that you're not married to. Maybe you've picked up a tally sheet of all the things that they said you didn't like, all the things they did you didn't like. And you got it right here. You could pull it out right now and add to it if you needed to. Maybe it's time to let go. You see, you can either forgive or forego. Forgive them or you forego a thriving, healthy marriage relationship. Lastly, live. So we have look, listen, let go, and live. What am I talking about? Live with the beginning in mind. Live with the beginning in mind. Live with the genesis of marriage as God created that in the garden, of what it was for a man and a woman to leave their parents, come together, and become one flesh, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Live with that understanding, that remembrance of that's what God intended, that's what God envisioned for my marriage. Live with the beginning in mind. Can you remember how you felt when you sat across from her? Can you remember the thoughts that you had about your spouse? Can you remember the thoughts you had when you weren't even with your spouse? You miss them. You wanted to be near them. Can't wait to call them or text them or whatever it is. Remember back to the beginning. Remember the things that you would do for them. Remember the things that you were willing to give up for them. Remember how there were things that used to be so important to you until you were in that relationship and then those just kind of just fell by the wayside? Hey, Keith, let's go play basketball. I'm kind of busy, you know? Remember what you gave up. Remember what you were willing to do. Remember what you sacrificed. Remember what you promised. In the name of God, I, Keith, take you, Lacey, to be my wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, to love and to cherish, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. So you remember what you said. Because God does. He was there, witnessing what came out of your mouth, witnessing the rings that you gave, witnessing the covenant that God had brought you into. Covenant must be permanent, sacred, exclusive. One of my mentors is Jeannie Mayo, and she is a lady that really baffles me in how much she accomplishes for the kingdom. She is someone that I've observed living with the beginning in mind as she has loved her husband for 47 years in their marriage. Well, February 20th, 2015, their lives drastically changed. Sam was on his way to a hospital to visit someone. And while he was on the way to the hospital, he had a stroke and then an accident. And because of the stroke and the accident, very quickly after that, Lewy body disease and also dementia began to set in. And his health just went like this. Over a time, there were different things that were happening, like hallucinations and bad dreams and nightmares. There were times when he would accuse his loving wife of having affairs. Here she is. She's right there caring for him. I mean, it wasn't accurate, but that's what he saw in his mind. There were times when he thought people were in the house, and there was danger. Nobody was there. There was no danger. His mental health was just fading like this. Times when he couldn't even recognize his own kids. and his grandkids, and even his own wife, Jeannie. Now, Jeannie, as I referenced just a moment ago, is the most high-octane, high-capacity leader I've ever been around in my life. And during those 2.5 years after that accident, she let a lot of those things just slide. She stopped taking a number of the commitments, a number of the opportunities, and let down some of her ministry responsibilities, because for those last 2.5 years of her life, she devoted herself to living with the beginning in mind. She remembered what she had said in sickness and in health. Till death do us part. And for 2.5 years, she cared for her husband, Sam. Now, Sam just passed away just a couple months ago. But Lacey and I, Pastor Carl and Mandy, have all been in her home. And we have observed firsthand over the last few years that she cared for him until the very end. She honored him until the very end. She forgave him until the very end. She lived with the beginning in mind. You see, we have an opportunity. We're in a marriage relationship. We have an opportunity to love and to cherish, to remember back to what God had envisioned, and remember back to what we vowed. Tell you what, during certain hard seasons, difficulties, challenges, it helps so much that husband and wife both look back to what it was, to why it started, and live out what it could be. Today I've spoken to you about God's original design for marriage. But I also want to say that he had an original design for relationship. And that is a relationship that he could have with each and every person, no matter who they are, all over the world. There are many in this place that have that relationship with God. You've come, you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you've invited him into your life, he's forgiven you of your sins, and you're walking actually with God. You're walking with a relationship, personal relationship with the creator of the world. He promises you eternity, he promises you his presence. I just want to ask today, how many are here? And you would say, I'm not in a personal relationship with God, but I want to be. How many would lift up a hand? I'm not in personal relationship with God, but I want to be. I would just love the opportunity to pray with you. I'm not in a personal relationship with God, but I want to be. Okay, is there anybody else? Anybody else? Okay, anybody else? Take just a moment more. You say, I'm not in a relationship with God, but I want to be. Well, I've got great news for you. You can be. You can be. I'm going to ask everyone here if they would bow their heads, because I want to lead in a prayer. It's a prayer of faith. You see, you don't have to checkmark a bunch of different things to get into a relationship with God. It's something called faith. It's believing that God loves you. It's believing that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins and for my sins. It's receiving his free gift of salvation. I'm going to lead in a prayer. I'm going to ask everybody here to join with me, joining with those who have lifted a hand. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I come before you humbly. I know I have sinned. I know I have wronged you, and I don't deserve you. But you've promised love, and you've promised acceptance, and you've come to me today. So I reach out to you and ask you now to forgive me of my sins, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. Help me now to know you more. Amen. God's original design. Man, woman being in relationship with him. Wow. if you have prayed with us to receive Christ into your life, whether you lifted a hand or you didn't, I just want to let you know that we have something really special for you, and that is at the end of our service, when everyone gets up to leave, I always encourage you, and you can take friends with you, people brought you, you can go with them. If not, you can go by yourself, right out these doors right here, and to your left, there are going to be people that are there, okay, that want to connect with you. We want to just celebrate, because God has spoken into your heart, and you've responded to Him, and then we have a gift for you, a really, really special gift to help you take your next step in getting to know God more. And so when service is done, we encourage you to head out those doors. Just take a moment. We would love the opportunity to meet you and be able to put this gift in your hands to help you in your next step. Well, I want to ask a question. And I understand that as I ask this question, it can bring about some painful memories. It can bring about the fact that, man, I'm not married right now. Because I know that there are some in this place that in the past, you've made ungodly choices that have resulted in divorce. And there are people that are in this room right now that have had other people hurt you deeply and that have done things to you, maybe even abandoned you, and it's resulted in a divorce. And as I said earlier, my heart is not at all to cause any pain. But my heart is to see us as a church bless marriages and encourage marriages. To see us as a church provide a counseling when that is needed, to provide marriage mentors when that is needed. In January, we have a marriage class that's beginning to start. I'm so excited about it, for people to come in and just grow in their marriage. We want to see marriages come together. And so I want to ask everybody to stand if they would. And if you are married, would you please come forward? Even if your spouse is not here today, would you please come forward? Because we have many, many spouses that are back serving in the children's ministry. We have several that are working the job this weekend. They couldn't be here today. And then there are some that aren't coming to church yet, and you're praying for them. We're believing they're going to come. They're going to find Jesus. So if you're married, husband, wife, even if your spouse isn't with you, please come forward just for a moment as we close together. Represented here today are marriages, some of which are thriving. You're like, our marriage is rocking. This is awesome. Can't wait for today. Can't wait for tomorrow. And I want you to keep going. Keep pursuing each other. There are marriages that are represented in this church that are struggling. There's hurt that's there. There's past that's there. There are issues that are there that you're trying to work through. And whether your marriage is struggling or it's thriving, I believe God wants me to share something with you. I've been praying all week, God, what do you want me to say at the end? And this morning, I believe the Lord put this in my heart, is for you to know that God is fighting for you. That He is fighting for your marriage way more than you are. And you're putting forth effort, keep doing it. You're loving your spouse, keep doing it. But I'm telling you what, God is fighting for you. There were times in the Old Testament when the Israelites were fighting. And then there were times in the Old Testament when God was fighting for the Israelites. One of those when the Egyptians were chasing them. And the Egyptians, these ungodly people, looked and they just noticed what was happening and said, the Lord is fighting for them. We're out of here. And I'm declaring that right now. The devil has to know, not today. Because the Lord is fighting for you. And he needs to recognize it's hands-off time. You're God's people. There was another time in Joshua where Joshua looked out and he saw what was happening. The Israelites were winning and this was awesome. And he looked out and he's like, surely the Lord is fighting for us. And I want you to recognize on this day, God wants this marriage to thrive even more than you do. All right? Remember, he was there. He was there when you said your vows. He was there at that first dinner. He was right there watching what you said, how you felt about each other. He ordained the covenant of marriage, and he is fighting for it. Let me pray for you, God. We humbly come before you. We're thankful for marriage. We're thankful for the husband-wife relationship. We're thankful that you've taken us all the way back to the very beginning and said, it's not just what man's made it. It's not just what a woman has made it. No, 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 no. This is what God has made it to be. What you envision as what could and should be for this relationship. And God, I pray a blessing over every marriage that's represented here. I pray a blessing over every husband or wife whose spouse isn't with them today. God, I pray that you will cause your face to shine on their relationships, and may they know that you are fighting for them. Lord, if there are walls that are in their lives right now that are coming between them, I pray that you will come in and crash down those walls. I pray that those relationships that feel like they're kind of the chained back, like they can't get through, like there maybe is a sin issue or something else or a habit or whatever it is that they just can't seem to get past. Lord, you're the chain breaker. And I pray that you will do that in the name of Jesus, even in this moment. Lord, I pray that love will be in these relationships, that you will enable us to live with the beginning in mind. And we praise you, Lord, because you are fighting for these husbands and wives. We know that you'll keep doing that. And so we respond to you, Lord, and we say, keep doing it. We welcome it. We want it. We want our relationship to honor you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today, the next day, the next, walk in a remembrance of what God envisioned, because what God envisioned is what he wants you to be able to experience. Lacey and I love all of you. We love marriage, and we're excited for what God's going to do even in these next couple days in our relationships. We look forward to seeing you all if you're able to make it with friends and family this Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve, and we pray that all of you have an awesome, awesome day serving Jesus. See ya.
Thanks for listening to Christian Celebration Center podcast. We hope that you found this helpful. For more sermons, service times, or to start your next step, visit our website at cccmidland.com.